We continue our scripture reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, Matthew 27, and this morning's passage will be verses 45 through the end of the chapter. And as you turn there, I'd like to just make a few quick observations about this passage. It chronicles the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and many cosmic events that are associated with it. The first thing I'd like to note is that At the moment Jesus' soul departed from this earth and entered into paradise, just before that, there was darkness over the face of the land. Darkness in the Old Testament being a sign of God's judgment against sin, which is taking place at the very time that our Lord is on the cross. The next is Jesus' quotation that's very famous of Psalm 21, verse 22, verse 1, where he cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And the point is, as we've seen on repeat throughout Matthew's gospel, all of these things are taking place that the scriptures might be fulfilled. This event transpires, Peter tells us, according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. And while our Lord only quotes the first line of Psalm 22, you may know that it ends this way. David writes, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you." It is likely that our Lord had the entirety of this psalm in mind, as we see even that verse being fulfilled by the Roman pagan centurions as these events unfold and they realize, truly, this was the Son of God. In addition to happening to fulfill the scriptures and the will of the Father, these events are also totally under the Lord Jesus' control. The text says that he yielded up his spirit. As Jesus has said elsewhere, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." It was ultimately Jesus who gave up the ghost. Finally, as Jesus dies, the curtain in the temple is rent in two, torn from top to bottom, signifying the end of the Old Testament economy and access to the Holy of Holies for all of God's people who know Christ through faith. And the text says also that there's a great earthquake and that the graves were opened and many saints of old came down and visited the holy city, telling us that in death, Jesus conquered death and conquered the power of the grave. We have also in here the account of Jesus' burial in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And in his commentary on this passage, J.C. Ryle points out how appropriate it is that such a valiant act is done by a man of whom we know such little. So it is for us today. God will often do great things for his kingdom through those of no worldly reputation. And I would also add, it's fitting that Jesus was laid in a particular tomb. The text says he laid Jesus in his own new tomb because Jesus died for that particular man's sins. And all who trust in Christ, he also died for your particular sins. Yours was the tomb wherein he lay. And no matter what schemes of the Pharisees or the Roman guards, he will not stay there. But that is our passage for next week when we consider the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Well, with these precious thoughts in mind, let us now give attention to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Matthew 27, beginning in 45. "Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him saw this, he said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.' There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be greater than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. May God be praised for the reading and hearing of his holy word.